This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay. Ruchem Avoim. Welcome, everyone. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We thank all of the live participants, Torah Anytime viewers. Tonight's shiur, as all the shiurim on Sefer Vayikra are sponsored by the Zakheim family, Leila Nishmas, Reb Shlomo Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim. I see someone from the Mishpacha is on the screen. Thank you very much. Shalom Shavon Aliyah, Shemel Tzio Shavon Hol Mishpacha. Someone anonymously sponsored all the shiurim, Leila Nishmas, Harav Mordechai Lev ben Rav Yosef Menachem Gladstein, our grandfather. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Dr. Ze'ev Fanfeder in honor of his father's yard site, which is today Gavriel ben Ze'ev, and as a hoida that Reb Ze'ev had a refuah shalema, Reb Ze'ev ben Rickel, you should have refuah, shus nachamas, good health, ad bias gal tzedek, and also sponsored by the Klein family, le'iloi nishmas, Sara bas Mordechai. Okay, that is the shiur for tonight. No, actually, that was just an introduction. Okay, Bruchim Abam. Welcome, everyone. Tonight we have a fantabulous subject, a very interesting topic, a controversy that happened about 170 years ago. Very interesting controversy. And it's based on a Gemara that we learned in Yevamos recently. And here we go. What's the connection to the Parsha? In the Parsha we have the mitzvah of Bris Milah, b'yom hashmini yimal besar arlasai. So we're going to speak about the role of Bris Milah in establishing someone as a Jew. We know in order to convert, when someone is born a Jew, all they need is Milah. But if somebody is a Gentile and they want to become a Jew, then they need Geirus. Now what is Geirus? There are three opinions in the Gemara Yevamos on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph going on to Mem Vav Amud Beis. The first opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says, you need Milah and that's it. All you need is Milah, you do not need Tefillah. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, holds. And Rabbi Lezer says, where do I learn it out from? I learn it out from Klal Yisrael. They left Mitzrayim. They entered into the Jewish fold with Milah. And they never went to the mikvah. What mikvah did they go to? They had a mikvah in the Midbar. They had a Vishnitsa mikvah. They had a Satmar mikvah in the Midbar. What mikvah did they go to? There was no mikvah. So they had Milah. There was no Tefillah. And they were Jews. Rabbi Shua, on the other hand, says, Tevilah without Milah works. Just go to the mikvah. You want to become a Jew? Jump in the mikvah. It's interesting, no? All you need to do is jump in the mikvah, and you could become Jewish, according to Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua says, where do we learn this from? The Imais, the mothers, how did they become Jewish? They didn't have a Milah. They went to the mikvah. So too, anybody who jumps in the mikvah becomes Jewish. And Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, and this is how we paskin, say, if you look in Mem Vav Amud Beis, number one on your sheets, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, La'olam Einoi Ger Ad Shayimal V'Yitbal, you're not a ger until you circumcise and immerse. Okay? And that's how we paskin. That one is not a ger until they go to the mikvah, and until they have circumcision and they go to the mikvah. Good? Excellent. One needs Milah and tefillah. Michael, you have a question? Or it's just no audio, huh? You can't hear? Well? You can't hear? You can't hear. You can't hear. Could you hear now? Could you hear? Anyone raise your hand if you could hear? No, no one could hear. That's real. That's real. Okay, 1 second. Let's see if we can. Yeah. I don't know. You're not able to hear? No, not at all. Not at all. How about on the live stream? I don't know. Okay, you'll have to come here, I guess, you know?
So,
or you could just watch, you know? Sorry. So that's the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara's conclusion is in order to become a ger, you need mila and you need tefila. Tefila without mila, mila without tefila is not a good geras. That is the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, how to... What? The order, yes. You have to do mila and then you do tefila. Okay. So the Gemara, the Tosis has the following shayla. And this is what this shir is based on. Tosis the shayla is the Gemara in Ayin Aleph Amad Aleph says that Rabbi Akiva encounters the following pasuk. Toishav v'sachir lo yoichaboy. Someone who's a ger toishav, someone who is a sachir, he cannot eat the Karban Pesach. Says the Gemara, what is that coming to exclude? That's coming to exclude a ger shemol v'loy taval. A ger that had mila and did not have tefila cannot eat from the Karban Pesach. Okay, that's, we have a pasuk, toishav v'sachir lo yoichaboy, from which the Gemara derives that a ger that had mila without tefila cannot eat from the Karban Pesach. Frek toisvis, who is Rabbi Akiva going like? If he's going like Rabbi Elezer, that mila without tevila is a good geirus, then why in the world can you eat from the Karban Pesach? You're a full-fledged ger, you're a complete ger, you're a total ger. Why would the pasuk say you can't eat from the Karban Pesach? Well, because you don't have a tevila? Tevila doesn't do anything according to Rabbi Elezer. Elamai, Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yossi, or like Rabbi Yeshua, that mila without tevila doesn't work, is not a good geirus. So then, why do I need a pasuk that you can't eat from the Karban Pesach? You're a complete guy. You're not even kechavim. So Tosis asks, miman of shach. Why would Rabbi Akiva need a pasuk that someone who has mila without tevila cannot eat for the Karban Pesach? If you hold tevila is necessary, so then of course you can't eat from the Karban Pesach. You're a guy. And if you hold tevila is not necessary, so then, why can you eat from the Karban Pesach? You're a full-fledged Jew. Miman of Shach. So Tosfos says, really, Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yeshua. And Mila without Tevila is not a Geiros. Aye, if Mila without Tevila is not a Geiros, so then why do I need a pasuk that you can't eat from the Karban Pesach? Of course you can't eat from the Karban Pesach. You're not Jewish. This is the pasuk from which you learn out that if you don't have mikvah, you're not Jewish. We learn it out from the Karban Pesach. In other words, from the fact that the Torah says, if you have mila without tevila, you can't eat from the Karban Pesach. Yeah, I don't know why there's no sound. From the fact that the pasuk says that if you have mila without tevila, you can't eat from the Karban Pesach, from there we learn out that you're not Jewish unless you have tefillah. This is the source. But again, let's get Tosis's question clear. Tosis's question is, we have a pasuk by Karban Pesach, that someone who has a mila without immersing in the mikvah, you can't eat from the Karban Pesach. So Tosis wants to know, according to the Chachamim, that you need tefillah to be Jewish, so then why do I need a pasuk that you can't eat from the Karban Pesach? Of course you can't eat from the Karban Pesach. And if we hold that mila without tefillah is a good geiros, then why can't you eat from the Karban Pesach? Comes the Rajba. The Rajba is really the main source of tonight's shir. And the Rajba says, in Yevamos, Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, says the Rajba, why does Rabbi Akiva say a ger that's circumcised and didn't go to the mikvah is not a ger until he goes to the mikvah? What do you mean? Of course. I don't need a pasuk that you can't eat from the Karban Pesach. You're not Jewish. In other words, why would Rabbi Akiva need a pasuk? You can't eat from the Karban Pesach. You don't have tefillah. Says the Rajba, tremendous chiddush. For the Rajba asks like this, do I need a pasuk? Let's say you had an Arab who had mila without any tefillah. Then would I need a pasuk that he can't eat from the Karban Pesach? Of course he can't eat from the Karban Pesach. He's not Jewish, right? So why would the pasuk be saying, excluding someone who has mila without tefillah? Someone who has mila without tefillah is not a yid. So the Rajba says there's a very big difference between a ger who has mila without tefillah and somebody who is, let's say, an Arab who has mila and doesn't have tefillah. The difference is, an Arab who has mila without tefillah, he didn't do mila to be a Jew. So I don't need a pasuk to say that he can't eat from the Karban Pesach. However, someone, says the Rashba, who has mila without tefillah, so he did mila for to be a Jew. So says the Rashba the following chiddush. He says, "V'deshani hacha demilasai l'shem yahadus." The afal pi shaloi nigmar gerusai mikom makoim kvar hischel v'nichnas ktsas bedasi hadas. Says the Rashba that when someone has mila, even without tevila, even though he's not fully Jewish yet, but he already began the process of entering Judaism, so he's slightly Jewish. Says the Rashba, nichnas ktsas bedas yehudish she'enoy tzarech ela tevila. He's entered a little bit the Jewish fold, and all he needs is tefillah. In other words, the Rashba says the following chiddush: even though we paskin, if somebody does mila without tefillah, they are not Jewish. Nevertheless, they have entered the fold a little bit. They're quasi-Jewish. They're ktsas ger, and all they need is tefillah. And therefore, you would have thought they could eat from the Karban Pesach. And therefore, I need a pasuk to say they don't eat from the Karban Pesach. In other words, here's the Rashba's whopper of a chiddush. The Rashba comes along and he says that even though we paskin, that someone who does circumcision and he doesn't do tefillah is not a Jew, but he begins to enter the process just a little bit, and because of that, I would have thought he's allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach, and the pasuk says no, he doesn't eat from the Karban Pesach. Okay, so that's the chiddush of the Rashba, that mila does something. So based on this, we have the following historical account. In 1848, in the city of Yerushalayim, on the 23rd day of Adar Beis, a man converted to Judaism, and he had a mila. The only thing is, his mila was not healing. His mila was not being cured. And he couldn't go to the mikveh. The Gemara Yevama says that if somebody's mila is still raw, you can't go to the mikveh. The mikveh will irritate the wound. So he didn't know what to do. So the natural choice would be to go to Reb Shmuel Salant and to try to had to have a shiloh. What should he do? He can't go to the mikvah. Now, so you say, okay, he'll wait until the wound heals. But the question is, what does he do about Shabbos? Because if he doesn't have a tefillah, he's not Jewish. If he's not Jewish, then he has to desecrate the Shabbos. Should he desecrate the Shabbos before he goes to the mikvah? So he goes to Rav Shmuel Salant. Rav Shmuel Salant was out of town. Rav Shmuel Salant was going fundraising for some new initiatives. He had to raise money for a new yeshiva that he established in the courtyard of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And he went to Russia to collect money. So who took over Rabbi Shmuel Salant? Rabbi Shmuel Salant had a backup rabbi for the weekend. So this ger goes to the backup rabbi. He says, I had mila. I didn't have tefillah. It's Shabbos. I'm not Jewish. Do I need to keep the Shabbos? Or do I need to desecrate the Shabbos? So he said, you're going to have to desecrate the Shabbos. You're not Jewish. And he told him, after Mincha, I want you to take out a pen. You're going to write two letters. You have to be Mechal Shabbos. After all, Ger Sheshavas is Chayiv Misa. And that's what he did. This future Ger was Mechal Shabbos. The other rabbis in the area found out about the psak of Rabbi Shmuel Salant, of this rabbi, who we're going to see, his name was Rabbi Usher Lemel, and they said, you're wrong. You can't tell a potential convert, especially a convert who had mila, to desecrate the Shabbos. And all the Sephardic rabbis, led by Rav Agan, disagreed with him, and they cried out about this psak, and they said, this potential ger has to keep the Shabbos. That was the dilemma. So Rav Usher Lemel didn't know what to do. And by the way, this story is recorded by a descendant of Rav Shmuel Salant. I had this chus when we were by Har HaZeisim, we visited the kever of Rav Shmuel Salant. and one of Shmuel Salant's descendants is Rabbi Chiel Michal Tikachinsky. And Rabbi Chiel Michal records this story, and he says Rav Asher Lemel was starting to get very nervous because nobody agreed with his psak that this potential ger should be Mechal Shabbos. So he wrote a letter to two gedolim in the time. First he wrote a letter to Rav Shmuel Salant, who was in Warsaw, and then he wrote a letter to the chief rabbi of Altona, who was the Arch Lener, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. And they both wrote to Rav Asher Lemel, B'mechilas kvoid toirascha harama, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're wrong, and you made a big mistake. Yeah, this potential ger is not allowed to be mechalel Shabbos. So Rav Chiel Michal sort of records, what did this rabbi hold? What did this Rav Asher Lemel hold that he told this potential ger to be mechalel Shabbos? So Rav Chiel Michal records the whole story, and this Rav Asher Lemel writes how none of the rabbis agreed with him, and they said, whoever heard such a thing, that if you have a ger who is already circumcised, and he didn't have tevila yet, then you're supposed to tell him to be mechal Shabbos. Whoever heard such a thing? So Rav Asher Lemel said, well, you heard it here first. Please explain to me. Mm-hmm. He says, if you want, I could tell you a svara, and if you want, I could tell you a Gemara Mefureshes, that this ger is obligated to be Mechal Shabbos. Number one, he says, it's a Svara. The Svara is, we paskin like the Chachamim, that you're not a ger until you do Mila and Tefillah, which means before you do Tefillah, you're a full-fledged Goy. Now what does the Gemara say in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Chesam Ebeis? Gemara says, Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa. If a Goy keeps Shabbos, he's chayiv misa. By the way, where do we learn out that a goy sheshavas chayiv misa from? Where do we learn that from? We learn from the pasuk yoyim v'layla lo yishbaisu. Day and night, you cannot let it cease. Yoyim v'layla lo yishbaisu. And by the way, the Gemara says not only is a goy not allowed to keep Shabbos, he's not allowed to keep Monday. For a Gentile to rest 24 hours straight from Sunday night to Monday night is an isser d'oraisa. The Gemara says, not only goy sheshavas chayiv misa for Saturday, for Sunday, for Monday, for Tuesday, any day, Gentile cannot spend the entire day without doing malacha. Now, is a goy chayiv misa for observing Shabbos? The Gemara says, goy sheshavas chayiv misa. The Rambam learns that that's an exaggeration. The Rambam learns that even though a goy that violates any of the sheva mitzvos b'nei noach is chayiv misa b'dei adam, however, if he violates Shabbos, Bezin will hit the guy, but Bezin will not kill the guy. But at the end of the day, it's an Isser D'oraisa for a convert, for a guy, to keep the Shabbos. So says Rav Asher Lemel, I don't understand. We paskin that Ger Shemol V'loy Taval is a guy gomor, and a guy is now to keep Shabbos. So how could anybody, in a clear conscience, say that this guy has to keep the Shabbos? El-Khayro, what I'm saying is absolutely correct. We all know that one major distinction between a ger, between a goy and a Jew, is whether you're allowed to eat an animal that's mifarcheses. You know what mifarcheses is? You shecht the animal, and the animal's shechted, but is alive. It's still thrashing about. Can a Jew eat an animal that is shechted and is mifarcheses? Absolutely yes. Can a goy eat an animal? No, because it's not dead. So a goy is now to eat Eiver Menachai. A Jew is now to eat an animal that's not shechted. So this animal is shechted, but it's alive. So says Rav Asher Lemel, do you think that this ger who had mila and didn't have tvila is allowed to eat an animal that's mefacheses? Of course not. It would be an isser d'oraisa, we would kill him, right? A ger that did mila without tvila, if he wants to eat an animal that's mifarcheses, he would not be allowed to be lenient. We would kill him for eating the animal. So the same way he can't be lenient to eat an animal that's mifarcheses, he should not be able to be lenient to do what? To eat, to observe the Shabbos. So, what?
How do you know that he can't eat? If he had tvila, if he had mila, then he's not eating mifarcheses.
He's a ben noyach, and l'chayra. He's on his way.
But we, what?
Well, we paskin ger shemol v'loy taval. Is chayiv is a goy. So if he's a guy, the same way it seems like everybody says you can't eat the animal that's mefachesses, you should not be able to observe the Shabbos. Furthermore, we find in Shas that the Gemara says that a ger that has mila, that doesn't have tefillah, is a nachri l'chol davar. And the Gemara even says, by the way, if you remember on Mem Vavam and Aleph, that there was a certain guy who the father was a ger, shemol v'loy taval. The woman was a Jewish woman. And Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, that in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, a goy that marries a Jewish woman, the children are mamzerim. We don't paskin that way, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan paskins. Rabbi Yochanan said that a ger, shemol v'loy taval, that married a Jewish woman, is considered the child's a mamzer. So you see, mila without tefila is nothing. So mila without tefila is not anything. How could anybody say that this ger shemol v'loy taval should observe Shabbos? This was the argument of Rav Asher Lemel. He feels that nobody got it right. He's the only one who saw it clearly. And honestly, between me and you, I would agree with him, Isvara. Very nice, he had a mila. Very nice, he could have had the best smile in the world, whoever you think that is. But he didn't go to the mikveh, He's a goy. If he's a goy, can't keep Shabbos. I think I would have agreed with that psak. Comes Rav Shmuel of Salant, and he says, in his opinion, Rav Asher Lemel made a mistake, primarily based on the svara of the Rajba. Listen carefully. The Rajba wanted to know. The pasuk says, "Toishav v'sachir lo yoichabay," that a toishav and a sachir cannot eat the korban Pesach. Says the Gemara in Ayin Aleph. Who is the pasuk excluding when it says toishav v'sachir lo yoichabay? Rabbi Kiva says it's excluding someone who has mila without tevila. Yeah, Zio, you hear that? It's coming to exclude someone who has mila without tevila. Now, the Rajba asks, why would I need a pasuk to exclude someone who has mila without tevila? But someone who has mila without tefillah is not Jewish. I don't need a pasuk to exclude them. The Rajba's mechadesh, even though they need tefillah, but the Rajba says, nichnas kvar hischil v'nichnas ktsas bedas Yehudis she'enoy tzarech ela tefillah. They already began and entered the Jewish religion that all they need is tefillah. So the Rajba's mechadesh, that once a person has mila without tefillah, you would have thought they could eat from the Korban Pesach, and I need a pasuk that says they can't eat from the Korban Pesach. Says Rav Shmuel Salan, that means you would have thought mila without tevila renders you capable to eat the Korban Pesach. And I have a pasuk that says, in fact, you can't. But do I have a pasuk that says that if you have mila without tevila, you can't keep Shabbos? The same way I would have thought if you have mila without tefillah, you could have eaten from the Korban Pesach. I also would have thought if you have mila without tefillah, you could keep Shabbos. And I happen to have a pasuk that no, if you have mila without tefillah, you can't eat from the Korban Pesach. But I don't have a pasuk that if you have mila without tefillah, you can't keep Shabbos. So the havamina that I would have had by Korban Pesach and is only uprooted because I have a pasuk that you don't bring the Korban Pesach if you have mila without tefillah, we would apply to Shabbos that mila without tefillah, you could keep the Shabbos based on the Rajba. You hear Rav Shmuel Salant's argument? Shmuel Salant is saying the Rajba learns that the reason I needed a pasuk by Korban Pesach is because I would have thought that since mila is makes you enter the Jewish fold to some extent, I would have thought you could eat from the Korban Pesach. So by the same token, maybe I would have thought you could keep Shabbos if you have meal without tefillah. And the only reason if you have meal without tefillah you can't eat from the Korban Pesach is because I have gzeiras hakasuv of toishav v'sachir lo yoichabay. But I don't have gzeiras hakasuv by Shabbos. So that means I would have thought you could keep Shabbos with mila, and I have no pasuk that's saying you can't keep Shabbos by someone who has mila without tefila. And therefore, says Rav Shmuel Salant, Rav Asher Lemel was incorrect in paskening that this ger has to desecrate the Shabbos. Then Rav Shmuel Salant offers another reason why this partial convert should have kept Shabbos. He says, what is the status of someone who has mila without tefila? And then he wants to retract. Like this. Here you have a guy, his name is Jim. So we give Jim a milah. He's not yet ready to go to the mikvah. Then Jim says, oh, you know what? Tell me some of the halachos. So we tell him, hey pal, you know, you can't talk by Chazar Sashatz. He says, really? You're telling me I can't become a Jew if I talk by Chazar Sashatz? I say, yeah. I say, no thanks. Let's say he wants to retract. Could he retract, or he's a Jew? He's allowed to retract. He could retract, because he's not Jewish yet. He only had milah, he didn't have tefillah. Says Rav Shmuel Salant, you know what he's like? Let's say you say to a woman, hey lady, I'm marrying you in 30 days. And the guy's thinking, let me see if she knows how to make cholent or not. And then he has her cholent the first week. Ugh. It tastes like, tastes like rotten applesauce on a good day. He says, let me give her one more shot. It's horrendous. It's terrible. Does he need a get? Or could he say, hey, lady, you know, see you later. This ain't going to work out. There's no commitment. He said, I'm going to marry you in 30 days. So the same way, if you tell a woman, I'm going to marry you in 30 days, you could retract without a get. If someone does milah without tefillah, they could retract on the geros, and they were never a Jew. And what if they decide, you know what? I do want to become a Jew. I won't talk by Chazar Sashatz. Fine. They have to go through the geros again. Either had milah, they have to do a tafas dam bris. So in other words, says Rav Shmuel Salant, what's going to happen if somebody sees this ger who had milah without tefillah, and then the rabbi says, by the way, it's Shabbos and you didn't have tefillah yet, you got to desecrate the Shabbos. People are going to think he desecrated the Shabbos. And then on Tuesday he went to the mikvah and he didn't have a hatafas dam bris. So people are going to think that if you retract on a geiros, all you need to do is go to the mikvah and you don't have to do the milah again. And that's not true. You do have to do the milah again. Now, this guy really doesn't have to do the milah again. Why? Because we told him to desecrate the Shabbos since he doesn't have tefillah. But people are not going to know that. And since people are not going to know that, they're going to think mistakenly that the halacha is that if someone who has milah without tefillah and then desecrates the Shabbos, then if they want to become a Jew, they could just go to the mikvah and they don't have to do milah again. And says Rav Shmuel Salant, there's so many areas of halacha where because we're concerned of what people are going to think, we change the halacha accordingly. And therefore, says Rav Shmuel Salant, in this case of a guy who has milah without tefillah, and then he doesn't know what to do on Shabbos, heaven forbid to tell him to desecrate the Shabbos. Number one, because of the svara of the Rajba, that milah without tefillah enters you into the fold of Judaism to a certain extent, at least to be able to keep the Shabbos. And number two, if you're going to desecrate the Shabbos, it looks like you're retracting on the geiros. And if you're retracting on the geiros, then you can't just go to the mikvah after. You're going to have hatafas dam bris. And even though this guy is not really retracting, he's just listening to our advice because we're telling him to desecrate the Shabbos because he didn't have tefillah yet, but people are not going to know that. And therefore, for these two reasons, Rav Shmuel Salant paskind, that we are required to tell this prospective ger that he's obligated to keep the Shabbos. By the way, in the Sefer Torah of Shmuel Salant, he brings that this question happened again. It repeated itself about 30 years later, where two Arelim came in front of the Bezdin of the Sfardim, and they weren't Toivel, and their Mila did not heal yet. And they wanted to know, what should we do? Are we allowed to keep the Shabbos, or do we have to desecrate the Shabbos? And Rav Shmuel Salant said, by the way, I remember, basically this story happened 30 years ago, and Rav Asher Lemel told the Ger to desecrate the Shabbos, and he was wrong. The halacha is you have to keep the Shabbos for the following two reasons. Number one, the Rajba. Namely, once you have milah, you enter the fold of Judaism to some extent, and therefore you have to at least keep the Shabbos. And number two, because if you're going to desecrate the Shabbos, it looks like you're retracting on the geiros, and if you retract on the geiros, you would have to do hatafas dam bris again. And then the Rosh Hashanah Salant makes the following kavachomer. If someone who had Mila without Tevila, there's a pasuk that says he can't eat from the Karban Pesach. Let's say I wouldn't have a pasuk that he can't eat from the Karban Pesach. I would think he could. Now, what's the punishment of someone who's not Jewish and eats from the Karban Pesach? V'chol zar lo yoichal bo yischayev kares. And even so, this person who has Mila without Tevila, I would have thought he's supposed to eat from the Karban Pesach, even though he's tampering with something very serious, potentially a chiyuv kares. But we say, no, you had Mila, that renders you enough of a Jew that you need to eat the Karban Pesach, had it not been for a pasuk of Toisha v'sachal ha'yechabai. So says Rav Shmuel Salant, if I even would have thought you could eat the Karban Pesach, which has a chi of Misa, because you have Mila, certainly you should be able to keep the Shabbos, which does not have such a severe punishment for someone who is not Jewish for keeping the Shabbos. As we said, the Rambam says someone who keeps the Shabbos inappropriately is not Chayiv Misa. So if you would even eat a Karban Pesach without Tevila, certainly you should keep the Shabbos. That was the psak of Rav Shmuel Salant, both in 1848 and in 1878. Good point. You want to say we should be able to prove that you don't need tevila for achilas karban pesach because the Jews in the midbar l'chayra they did not have tevila when they ate the karban pesach. Okay, that's a very important point. We're gonna come to the tshuva of the Aruch Lener, and the Aruch Lener makes a similar point. Please take a look at number 5. This shiloh was brought to the Shailas Tshuvas Binyan Sion. The Shailas Tshuvas Binyan Sion is Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger. Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger was the rabbi in Altona, and he received a letter from Rav Asher Lemel. And Rav Asher Lemel said, look, I really feel that since this convert does not have Tevila, he's a guy, and therefore he shouldn't be allowed to keep Shabbos. And the Aruch Lener says, look, I heard that nobody wanted to be Mekabel your Psak. Nobody wanted to accept your psak. So I did a little research. And what I discovered was there is no bezdin in the world that if a ger did mila and did not do tefillah, the bezdin is going to tell the prospective ger, hey, you need to desecrate the Shabbos. There's no such thing. It never happened. There's no court in the world that tells the ger that didn't go to the mikvah, he needs to desecrate the Shabbos. Says the Aruch Lener, I'm not sure what the source is. It could just be a svara yeshara. And here's the svara. We know that when somebody gets a circumcision, it's called a bris. What does a bris mean, Azriel?
Circumcision.
What does a bris mean? What does the word bris mean? Covenant. A treaty. When someone has a bris milah, they have a covenant with God. In fact, the Gemara says in Shabbos, when a ger has a mila, you make a bracha, koreis habris. Well, Shabbos is also a bris between us and God. Does it make any sense to say that a convert who has mila and enters one covenant with God should then be obligated to break and annul the other covenant of Shabbos? That doesn't make any sense. It's just counterintuitive. Once you're entering the covenant, you should have to keep the covenant. What's the seichel of, oh, you're getting the milah, so the first thing you need to do when you get the milah is break Shabbos. That doesn't make any sense. If you're entering the fold, you're entering the fold. If you're not entering, you're not entering the fold. Sometimes you need to just use a little straight thinking, a little common sense. Says the Aruch Lener, it is not mestaber that when somebody enters the covenant of milah, they should have to break the covenant of Shabbos. That's just not logical. Furthermore, says the Aruch Lener, what Rabbi Yitzchak says? Rabbi Yitzchak says the following very good svara. He says, in my opinion, says the Aruch Lener, I would answer Tosis's question different than Tosis, based on Rabbi Yitzchak's svara. Tosis wanted to know, why do I need a pasuk to say that someone who has mila without tevila is not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. Why would I think he eats the Karban Pesach? He's a full-fledged guy. Says the Aruch Haner, I'll tell you why I would have thought he eats the Karban Pesach. Because even though regarding every other mitzvah in the Torah, he's a full-fledged guy, Legabe Karban Pesach, all you need is milah. Where do we see that for Karban Pesach, all you need is milah? The Jews, in the first Karban Pesach they ever ate, they had milah, they didn't have tefillah. So you see that in order to eat a Karban Pesach, all you need is milah. So says Achanah, I have a very simple answer to Tosus's question. Tosus wants to know, why do I need a pasuk that if someone has milah without tefillah, you can't eat from the Karban Pesach? But he's a guy, why would you think you could? You know what I would think you could? Because the Jews in the desert, in the wilderness of Sinai, the Israelites partook of the Paschal offering with just circumcision and without immersion. So you think that when it comes to Karban Pesach, all you need is milah without tefillah. That's why I need a pasuk. But then it comes out that I have a special pasuk that if someone just has milah without tefillah, they can't eat from the Karban Pesach. But I don't have a special pasuk that if someone who has milah without tefillah, they can't keep Shabbos. And here's the whopper of the night. The first whopper. The second whopper, we'll see if we could get Mendy to hear. Mendy will be very happy after he hears this. The first whopper is like this. When did the Jews get Shabbos? When did the Israelites? They were what? Right. They're commanded in Mara. Ozmi Sinai Nitztavu. Before Sinai. Sham Sam Chayku Mishpat V'Sham Yisrael. The Jews got Shabbos at Mara. Before they got the Torah. Now historically, when did the Jews circumcise? The night of Mitzrayim. When did they go to the mikvah? Har Sinai. So when did they get Shabbos? Mara. Mara. So, okay, we have a tradition. They kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim, but they were given Shabbos at Mara. At that point, they had Milah without Tevilah, says the Aruch Haner. So we should learn out from there that even though for Karban Pesach we have a pasuk, if you have milah without tefillah, you can't eat from the Karban Pesach, but I have the greatest precedent in the world that if you have milah without tefillah, you could keep Shabbos. Namely, the Jews were given Shabbos at Mara, even though they didn't go to the mikvah. So you want to know, Rav Asher Lemel, you're telling me that this potential ger must desecrate Shabbos because he is milah without tefillah and he's a goy. I will tell you that Shabbos is different than any other mitzvah. All the other mitzvahs, you need to be a full-fledged Jew and go to the mikvah to be mekayim. But not Shabbos. Well, why would Shabbos be different? Because historically, Shabbos was given to the Jewish people when they only had milah and they didn't have tefillah and mara. And therefore, says the Aruch Haner, why would that be? Let's think for a moment. Why would it be that to be a full-fledged ger, you need mikvah, but for Shabbos, all you need is milah? He would say, either it's Gzeiras HaKosov that regarding Shabbos, you're no longer a goy once you have milah, or the two covenants go together. Once you are enter the covenant, namely bris, you need to keep the covenant Shabbos. And therefore the Aruch Haner says, Rav Asher Lemel, you're a great rabbi, but when it came to this issue, you made a mistake. You should not have told the goy to desecrate Shabbos. Either, since we see from Marad that the Jews were commanded on Shabbos when they just had milah, so it comes out, Shabbos is dependent on milah and not tefillah. Now I'm going to share with you my favorite Avnei Nezer, one of my favorite Maror Mekoymes I ever came across. I saw this 17 years ago, and I never had an opportunity to say it in a shir. It just never came about. Remember when I first started giving shirim, so I used to give one shir a year. It took me a whole year to prepare the shir. And then started, you know, getting the process down a little bit. But I remember I saw this a very long time ago. And it's an incredible Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer says, almost exactly like the Aruch Haner, that it would seem that from the fact that the Jews in Mara, the Jews were given Shabbos at Mara, even though they had milah and not tefillah, that Shabbos is dependent on milah and its tefillah is not necessary. But says the Aruch Haner, but maybe you'll ask, that was an aberration. That was different. You can't learn that from the Jews in the desert. I'll bring you a raya. Says the Avnei Nezer, even when the Jews ate the first Karban Pesach, what did they have? Did they have tefillah? No, they also didn't have Mila. Avnei Nezer says they didn't have Mila until later that night. So why don't we learn out from there that you don't need anything to eat the Karban Pesach. It must be, it was a Hirah Hashah, and you can't learn out from the Jews in the desert. So maybe don't say, well, they were given Shabbos at Mara, so maybe all you need is Mila without Tefillah. And anyway, if they were given, if all you need for Shabbos is Mila, so then why didn't God in Egypt give the Jewish people Shabbos as soon as they did the Mila? So the Avnei Nezer says a mind-boggling thing. He says, if you look in the Zohar HaKadosh, we know there are two parts of Mila. There's the circumcision, you cut the foreskin, then you take the foreskin and you pull it back and you uncover the corona. That's Puriah. He says, well, who does that? Jewish people do that. The Israelites, you know, and the descendants of. We do that. Jews everywhere, observant Jews do Mila and Priya. Mila the Jews did in Egypt. When were we given Priya? Says Isaiah, Priya were given at Mara. At the very same time we were given Shabbos. Says the Avnei Nezer, according to the Zohar, it comes out so compelling that Shabbos is different than all other mitzvahs in the Torah. All other mitzvahs in the Torah, you need Mila and Tefillah. But Shabbos clearly is utterly dependent on Mila. Because you say, why weren't we given Shabbos in Mitzrayim? Because we didn't have the whole mitzvah of Mila in Mitzrayim. We only had Mila. But the Priya wasn't given until Mara. As soon as we got the Priya, we got Shabbos. So says the Avnei Nezer, according to the Zohar, it comes out, Shabbos is not dependent on being Jewish, Shabbos is dependent on Bris Mila. Why? Either like the Aruch Lenar said, either it's Gzeres HaKasuv, or because the two covenants go together. But according to the Zohar, it is so compelling, the dependency of Shabbos on Mila, because according to the Zohar, they didn't have Priya in Mitzrayim, they had Priya at Mara, and at the very same moment, Hashem gave us Shabbos. Says the Avnei Nezer, so why didn't any of the Rishonim, not Tosis, not the Rashba, learn the Sugya and Yevamos, that even though you need Mila and Tevila to be a Jew, but for Karban Pesach and Shabbos, you don't need Tefillah, you only need Mila. Says Avnei Nezer, you know why nobody thought of my pshat? Because Tosfos never saw the Zohar HaKadosh. And the Rashba never saw the Zohar HaKadosh. So you say, how could that be? The Zohar was written by the Rashbi and probably by much later Amoraim as well. Yeah, but we know that historically the Zohar was not revealed until after the times of the Rishonim and times of the early Achronim. The Rishonim did not have the Zohar. So since they didn't have the Zohar, they didn't know this tidbit that the Priya was given at Mara, so therefore they couldn't establish a connection between Mila and Shabbos because the Mila was in Egypt and Shabbos was at Mara. But now that we know that Mila was in Egypt, Priya was at Mara, and at the same time was Shabbos, now that we know this tidbit from the Zohar, we see that Mila and Shabbos go hand in hand, and we could say Shabbos is different from any other mitzvah in the Torah. Shabbos is dependent on Bris Mila. So, where? Who? What? Would they need Hatafas Dambris? No. The Jews? No, and I'll tell you a bigger chiddush that the Rashba says. Shevet Levi did Mila in Mitzrayim. Did they need to do Hatafas Dambris again when they left Mitzrayim, when Hashem gave the mitzvah to Klal Yisrael? The Rashba said no. Once you do Mila, l'shem entering Hashem's bris, even if you're not commanded, you don't have to repeat any of the steps. That's another Rashba. So you don't have to do Hatafas Dambris. So Merv Rabbeisai, before we come to the real whopper of the evening, it comes out that while this Ger, who by the way came from Morocco, and he was not able to have Tvila because his Mila was not healed, while Rav Asher Anshel told him to be Mechalo Shabbos, because he held Mila without Tvila is not a good Gerus, and that's what this Ger did. We have three Svaras, why in fact Shabbos should have been kept for a ger that has Mila without Tefillah. Number one, the Rashba, that even though you're not a full ger unless you have Mila and Tefillah, you already begin to enter Judaism a little bit with the mitzvah of Mila, and therefore you can't say he should be Mechalo Shabbos. Number two, if you're going to be mechal on Shabbos, it looks like you're retracting on the original geiros. And if you're retracting the original geiros, then really you should need hatafas dam bris again, and it's not going to look good. And number three, Shabbos is different than any other mitzvah in the Torah. Shabbos is not dependent on being Jewish. Shabbos is dependent on bris milah. By the way, before we come to the grand finale, I want to tell you a Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in his Chedushim on Yevamos that he finds it funny that there are two ingredients in conversion, milah and tefillah. Is it that, you need to get to two and one without the other is not going to get you there? Or is it that they're doing different things? So Rabbi Yosef Engel says that there are two steps in becoming a Jew. For example, Mendy, you ever use Sefer HaYetzirah? Not recently, right? Not since I haven't been around as much, right? So, what's halach if somebody creates, in some places they need help with a minyan? So you have nine people, right? It used to happen, remember in the good old days? So, what do you do? So the Svarim discussed, you create somebody with the Sefer Yetzirah. Is a goyim created with a Sefer Yetzirah? Is he Jewish? Not Jewish. Is he a goy? Not a goy. So what is he? So you see, you could be not goy, not non-Gentile, and not Jewish. Not everyone who's not a Gentile is a Jew. So Yosef Engel says, Mila removes your status of a goy, but you're still not entering the status of being a Jew. Tvila enters you into the fold of being Jewish. So it comes out, Goy sheshavas chayiv misa. But if you have mila, you're not a goy. You're not a Jew either, but you're not a goy. What? You're a goy lam, right? Fine. Anyway, so now we come to the highlight of the year. If you came for this year, this is Oya Menorah. This is a historical episode that's recorded in by a history book about the Chassam Sofer called Zichron LeMoshe, that it was told to Rabbi Yosef HaKoyen Schwartz by Rabbi Zisman of Kashoy, that he heard from his good friend, Rabbi Yaakov Frankfurter, that in the times of the Chassam Sofer, there was a little city. What's a good name of a city near Pressburg? A little city. A little city. What? Sarajevo. In Sarajevo, we're protecting the names of the innocents, so we're picking a fictitious name. A guy came, and the guy said, I want to convert. So the rabbi said, no problem, you have to accept the mitzvahs. And then they gave the rabbi a circumcision. Now this rabbi was not the most expert moel, but he did the job. You know, it's not like a rabbi living in the big city where he's doing it every Monday and Thursday. He did it once every 7 years. The rabbi didn't do such a slick job, as we would say. And the guy was in such pain, and he had to be admitted in the hospital, and his life was in danger. And this became a libel, where people said the rabbi tried to kill the Gentile. And the moyel was in big trouble. So the rabbi goes to the Chassam Sofer. And Chassam Sofer says, you did what? You in your little city in Sarajevo, you took a ger and you circumcised a ger? This is not something, it's not amateur hour. Circumcision, not amateur hour. Either you know what you're doing or not. Chassam Sofer was very upset, but he said, okay, it's done already. There's only one way out. Your whole city is in danger. The whole world is in, all of Klal Yisrael is in danger. This is what you're going to have to do, Rabbi. You're going to call the Moyel, you're going to pick the Moyel up in your wagon. You're going to pick up the guy in the wagon. And you're going to tell the guy you're taking him to a famous doctor. And you're going to be riding along the Danube River. And you're going to make a sharp right turn straight into the river, and you're going to commit suicide. And this way, people are going to understand that you didn't try to kill the guy, because if you tried to kill the guy, why would you have been trying to help the guy by taking him to the doctor? So you, the moyel, both of you guys got to go into the wagon. You got to bring the goy into the wagon, drive him to the icy river, and you need to plunge to an icy death. And that's it. You got to give up your life. So the rabbi said, if that's what I have to do to save Klai, so that's what I'm going to do. He goes to the mayel. The mayel says, I'm going to do that also. They knock on the goy's house. The goy's, you know, he's half dead. He says, come on, there's a good doctor. He says, is it a Jewish doctor? Yeah, it's a Jewish doctor. Jumps in the wagon. They get to the Danube River, and they're about to make a right turn into the icy river. All of a sudden, they see there's a rabbi standing there with a long white beard. And he says, what are you doing? Are you out of your mind? Sorry, you know, we just lost control. What's going on here? Who's in here? He said, whatever. The rabbi doesn't let up. He says, tell me, what's happening? He says, we have a chayla in the back. What's wrong? He has a botched mila. Okay. You guys are mishugoyim. You're going to a doctor? A doctor? What's the doctor going to do? Once you botched the mila, there's nothing you could do. I happen to have some water in my back pocket. I'm going to pour it on the guy, and he's going to have refuah shleima. And he pours it on the guy, and the guy snaps out of it, and he has refuah shleima. And the rabbi and the mayel head straight off to Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer says, I knew you'd be coming back to me. You needed to have Eliyahu Malach HaBris send a refuah to this guy. And the truth is, says the Chassam Sofer, I also wanted to see him. But you could only see him if you're willing to be Moisar Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem. And because you followed my advice, which I knew you would, Eliyahu came and he healed the guy. Don't ever do that again. That's the story recorded. You see the godless of the Chassam Sofer, that he knew, A, how to achieve Gilui Eliyahu, how to bring refuah to this guy, and how to save the Jewish people. That's the story. So who discusses the story? Obviously, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein in the Chashukei Chemed. And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein asks one simple question. The rabbi wants to give up his life to save the Jewish people? You're allowed to do that. The Gemara in Tainus talks about a situation where the king wanted to kill out the city because his daughter was killed. So Puppis and Lulianus, they gave up their life and they committed suicide to save the Jewish people. Are you allowed to commit suicide to save the Jewish people? Avada and Avada, you're allowed to. Are you allowed to kill someone to save other Jews? Absolutely not. We know many, the Gemara says, that if the Goyim say, either give us one of you or we're going to kill everyone, you're not allowed to give one of them. So ask Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, the fact that the rabbi wants to turn right into the Danube River and kill himself, he's allowed to do that. The fact that the Mayo wants to commit suicide, he's allowed to do that. But how are they allowed to kill the Goy? So you say, what do you mean? It's not a Yisraeli. But he had Mila without tevila. And according to the Rajba, if you have mila without tevila, you already entered nichnas ktsas into the fold, and you've already become a Jew to a certain extent, and you have kedushas Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, what's the halacha of someone who had mila without tevila, and his life is on the line? Are you allowed to desecrate the Shabbos to save their life? So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein quotes the Chalkas Yoyav, that since that he has Kedushas Yisrael, you're allowed to desecrate Shabbos to save their life. So that means, if you're allowed to desecrate Shabbos to save their life, that means if you even have to desecrate Shabbos to save your life, their life, then how could you kill them to save other Jews? That's the Kasha Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. And I would answer very simply, who's the question on them? The Chassam Sofer knew that they wouldn't be killing him because the Chassam Sofer knew what the outcome of the story was. I guess the question, though, is how are they allowed to listen to the Chassam Sofer? I don't know. When the Chassam Sofer tells you to do it, you do it. When the Chassam Sofer tells you to jump, you jump. But I guess that's not right. You know, in other words, it would seem that they should not have listened to the Psak of the Chassam Sofer. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says as follows. Even though you're not allowed to kill someone to save other people's lives, but if that someone only has chayesha, if that someone anyway doesn't have a prospect of living indefinitely, then you may be allowed to take their life to save others. This guy, his milah was so botched that his prognosis for living wasn't good anyway. So he was only capable of living chayesha, so they were allowed to, so to speak, kill him to save other Jews. But Marv Rabbeisai, this is the great controversy of 1848 and the riveting story of the Chassam Sofer, who actually recommended to a rabbi and a moyel that they commit suicide to save the rest of the Jewish people. And this is based on the Svara of the Rajba, that it does seem that even though one is not a ger, if they only have Mila without Tevila, nevertheless, there is some element of Judaism that has been created through Mila even without Tevila. According to Rabbi Yosef Engel, it means the status of Gentileness has been taken away, but the status of Judaism has not begun. Plus, if Shmuel Salant says, if you're going to desecrate the Shabbos after Mila, it looks like you're retracting. And one of the most interesting svaras we saw is that it seems that Shabbos is very dependent on Bris Mila, either because they're both covenants, or because Klal Yisrael at Mara received Shabbos with Mila, and even though they did not receive the Tevila yet. Okay, but Marv Rabbeisai, if you do know any converts, it is recommended that they go to the mikvah before Shabbos. They could go to right over here, to the shtibel, or they could go to Esh Kodesh. But it is recommended that they go to the mikvah before the Shabbos so they don't have to get involved in such a heated controversy. Rabbeisai, have a great night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.